Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem.
O come all ye faithful with Perry Como. Oh, the classic. She gotta love it. One of our all-time favorite Christmas albums. And it is time. That's what we're gonna focus on today. Advent 2015. Welcome to the show. Welcome to another episode of Good Things Radio, episode number 32. My name is Brooke Taylor. I am so glad you're here. And a big special howdy hello to Georgia Jenny. She is our very first ever Good Things Radio good friend patron of the podcast. I want to begin this Advent episode with a prayer, kind of having us all gather around this mystical Advent wreath, which I know sounds weird, but if you're doing the dishes or if you're driving, you don't have to do anything. Just listen. And it's an opportunity for all of us to gather and begin the show in prayer. This is actually a blessing for the Advent wreath. Dear Lord God, you who sent into the world your beloved Son as a light that shines in the darkness, invest this wreath, our Advent symbol, with the power of your energy and light. With each of these candles that is lighted, may we rekindle within ourselves the desire to prepare the way for the birth of Christ. With each new candle that is lighted, may the flame of Christ's coming grow brighter and brighter, so that this Christmas may see a fresh and evergreen coming of the Lord of Light into each of our hearts and into the world. We pray that the richness of God's blessing rest upon this wreath and upon our home and each of us as we light this candle. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears.
Hi, Brooke. My name is Christina, and I just wanted to weigh in a little bit about Advent. I really believe that if we do everything with intention, our Advent will be wonderful. And it will be exactly the Advent that God wants us to have. It's a little overwhelming out there with Pinterest and all the resources. And I think that if we just pray about it and we do what our families need in whatever season of life we're in, that we're going to create these environments for our families that really go along with what's happening in our church. And I can't wait to see what unfolds with my children. I will definitely touch back with you and let you know what they discover with Christ this year, with the waiting and the anticipation of the incarnation. I pray that you have a beautiful Advent with your family. And then anyone who's not sure what to do, just pray. Pray with your children. Take it slow. Take time to get away from the busyness that's out there, all the elves on the shelves and all the Polar Expresses, but sit and wait for the Lord, and all good things will come from that. God bless you all.
Thank you, Christina. Wow, if you do everything with intention, our Advent will be exactly the way God wants it to be. I love that, that reminder. That is so true, because you're right. I think there are so many different directions that we can go, and they're all holy and they're all good. And as devout as we might be and detached from the world, it's still easy to be influenced by everything else and to try to want to make it the best ever and almost pack too much in. So I love the simplicity of what you have to say. And for a lot of people, you're kind of forging a new path. I know for us growing up, we didn't have a lot of super involved Advent traditions. We didn't have an Advent wreath, and we just went to church. And I remember as a kid staring the entire Advent season at that pink candle and just waiting for that to be lit, because you know how close you're getting then, and that the week after it's going to be Christmas. So I love that reminder. And then also like the Feast of St. Nicholas, that's another thing. We never grew up and observed the Feast of St. Nicholas at all. And I went to school in Wisconsin. So my middle school and high school classmates, they would talk about their shoes, leaving the shoes out. And I'm thinking, what? I'm missing out. And I had no idea. And then when we had kids, it wasn't until then, and even years later, actually, when my husband converted to the faith, that, and we began to actually live it out, that we started that tradition with our family. And even the kids every year, like, okay, how does this work again? Okay, all right, okay. And it's the Feast of St. Nicholas. And now there are so many books. And I kind of think that the blogging atmosphere, the social media world that we have, has kind of given that particular feast day a renaissance, because you see how fantastic and simple it can be. Just a little thing that we can do. And also the community aspect as well. This show, episode 32 today, is really going to be focused on easy, simple ways to have a super awesome Advent. That's the bottom line. And whether it's just you in your home with a candle and the Book of Luke, or if it's a community atmosphere, that whatever you can do, just do and be grateful. Kind of going back to what Christina said, I will tell you, for us, this year, as in the last 4 years, have been very different because our family's different. We have our daughter, Carolina, who is severely autistic. She has special needs, intellectual disability, mostly nonverbal. And that really has changed the way that we do Advent. And what I mean by that is a lot of the community events, we're just not able to attend. One year there was a Living Nativity, and we did try to go with her, and there's different stations, and it's a fantastic thing that they have at a Methodist church in our area. But for Carolina, it was torture, and she was screaming and flailing, and in the first place, when cognitively she's not quite following the Bethlehem story, it's one of those things where it's just not the right place, the right time for us right now, or we'll get a babysitter. And I share that with you because I think it's also an opportunity to pray for patience and peace for others. There are going to be more people at church, thankfully, than there are at any time of the year. We see that in all faith traditions, that at this time more people go. So I think that's my prayer, is for patience and grace, and to hopefully welcome those people to come back. Because we haven't always honestly had the best experience with, and even though we're super involved and we know half the church, if not more, it's not always been a great experience with bringing Carolina to church, because it's something she struggles with. And when you are autistic, it's a sensory overload component that is right in your brainstem. It's not a behavioral thing. So if you see a child that's screaming or jumping off something like she might, or kind of singing really loud because she can't stop. She's 5 years old. It's the way that she knows to try to regulate what's going on around her. And I know before I had Carolina as my daughter in our life, I didn't understand that. And I would think, okay, this has gone on for maybe 5 minutes. So why doesn't the parent politely excuse themselves and go out? And I realize now that might not have been the most charitable. But I also recognize that there are people that are really hurting and that really need church, that need the peace that can come from the hymn and the solitude. And it is hard when there's a screaming child. And I, when I say screaming, I mean an octave that really isn't possible in most cases. So I think about that not only for our family, but so many families in the special needs community that I know have stopped going to church. And again, all different faith traditions, because it's so difficult and not everyone understands. And I don't say it as kind of a whiner. I say it as someone that can only really experience it unless you've kind of walked through that. And there are so many different circumstances, whether you feel unworthy to go to church or if you do have a physical challenge. I have a friend of ours that was working with the Red Cross and was in a severe accident. And then from that point on, was paralyzed, has had many difficulties with speech. She cannot get to church unless someone remembers to pick her up. So I also think it's an opportunity to think of those people, to pray for those who want to come, and to offer grace to those who are there and that might not look the most appropriate. And I will tell you that it is a sticking point for me, especially, I'm just going to be honest here, and I know I need to go to confession about this, but when I'm at church and I see a young lady that has a skirt that's barely even covering the back of her thighs, and it's Christmas Eve, first of all, I'm like, aren't you cold? And second of all, why does your mom think it's okay? And third of all, don't you think it's okay? And fourth of all, you're distracting me from my prayer. But the reality is, I was that girl. I will sheepishly admit that. And I don't know. It's funny in conversations with my mom, because she said, I just, you know, I saw you as my daughter. I didn't really see that maybe you weren't dressed, inappropriately. But there again, it's an opportunity for prayer and grace. And I'm talking to myself when I say that, and not judgment. And I know there are different philosophies on this, because if you ride the hard edge and you think we have a standard and someone's got to set that standard, and if the priest or their parents won't say anything, I will. I understand that completely. And I've been the recipient of that myself. And I might not have appreciated it at the time, but when I look back, I see the wisdom in why that person spoke to me. However, with this season of Advent, it means anticipation, it means coming, it means opening our hearts to Christ, and it also means shining that light. So that's just a reminder to offer that grace. And now, back to our Advent tips, and not just my soapbox. We're talking about building tradition. And Vanessa left feedback and was kind enough also to recommend some booklets. She loves Ann Voskamp. She said, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, a Family Celebration of Christmas is fantastic.
Hello, Brooke. This is Vanessa from California. Just wanted to call. Hopefully this is, I'm using it right, but I'm going to give it a try. Wanted to call and give feedback. Really enjoyed the last show. Really been thinking about how to get ready for Advent. And I can't believe it, but my goal was to finish my Christmas shopping by Thanksgiving, which I have accomplished. And I know it's not easy for a lot of people to do financially or whatever the case may be, but I did it. And I'm feeling really good about entering Advent without having to worry about rushing out to the stores. So we'll see how that goes. My hope is that I will be a little more calm. I know that that's my hope. I'm not sure if that will really happen, because the holidays inevitably will give mothers some stress. So we'll see how that goes. As far as devotions or what we'll be doing, we have our candles that we'll light, our Advent wreath that we'll light every Sunday. And I have a Magnificat, so I'll be reading that, the daily readings with my family. So as far as the Jesse tree, and I know there's a lot of great things that I've read from other bloggers what they do. And for me, I feel as if I'm entering this Advent season a little more at peace, that hopefully that will radiate to my family. So we're going to stick to our candles. We have the Magnificat, and trying to make it more sacred. Every year I feel like I got to do it better. And so I guess my goal is just to be at peace, because I think if the mother is at peace as much as possible, that it kind of rubs off on the family. So we'll see how that goes. Just wanted to say you're doing a great job, and happy Thanksgiving, and looking forward to future shows. God bless. Bye.
Feedback from Vanessa on Voxer. Pretty neat. We talked about that in episode 31, A New Way to Communicate. So thank you for taking advantage of that, and what wisdom that contained. Your feedback was fantastic. I love what you had to say about the mom setting the tone, keeping the peace. Just a great reminder. Also, a book called A Catholic Family Advent, Prayers and Activity by Susan Hines Brigger is another recommendation. Brandy, she says, we have a gathering at our home every year to create homemade Advent wreaths. Is it wreaths or wreaths? It's got to be wreaths. We provide greenery. Wreaths does not sound right. She said, we provide greenery, wire, and decorating materials among our friends to create and decorate a wreath. We ask those attending to bring their own candles or special items they wish to share with the group. This is a tradition we learned when we lived in Luxembourg. We also have paper wreaths for the children to create and kids' activities. She said that's what it's about. I love that idea. Thank you to everybody who left feedback about that. Every year, again, there may be different challenges, but Advent is about settling into them, resting with them, and walking with the Holy Family through them. So let's go there now. This is one of my favorite modern Christmas songs that I think is a beautiful vehicle to kind of take us there. So listen to the words. This is Dave Barnes, When Love Was Born.
Was Bethlehem as white as snow? Had you walked as far as your feet could go? Were you scared to death so far from home on that winter night when love was born?
And that's where we are in the journey, right? Just beginning the walk to Bethlehem. And Mary pondered and paced, wasn't rushing around. So here's some ideas to be more like that. How can we be? A fantastic book called Celebrating Saints and Seasons by Jean Hunt. This book in our home has dog-eared pages and crust on it from being used and reused many times, but inside is just a treasure. So here are some of the tips that she says. Number one, for preparing for Advent and walking through these days now, she says, proclaim a desert day. When I first read this, I actually thought it said dessert day, and I was so excited. I was like, I can do that. But no, it's not. It's a desert day. And it means fast from noise, just for today. Spend this day quietly in the house with no television, no radio, no phone. Keep a deep peace in the house. Spend some extra time listening to God's voice in the quiet in this day. Let the Spirit speak to you about the weeks ahead and ways for the feast in your life to be lived out. I try to do this, and I do feel, even if I'm driving in the car, that I feel moments of that, and it's so nice when it happens. The problem for me is keeping the peace. I just can't hold my peace because when the kids come home from school so often, I feel like it's immediately, I don't want to say shattered because that sounds really harsh, but there's so much when you have a lot of kids and a lot of backpacks and papers that makes it hard to maintain this really peaceful bubble. And that's one of the things that I would love to work on this. But what she says is to write down when you're in that moment of feeling really good, to write it down and then go back when you need an oasis of sanctuary amidst the clamor. Good tip. Next, send a Christmas card to three people who wait for the mail to come to fill their day. For example, someone elderly or sick or far from loved ones, be sure to include a little message of love with your name. Pray for those three, especially during Advent. Take a walk at night. Listen to the sounds of night. Allow the darkness to surround you. See the walk through the darkness as an opportunity to meet God. Think about Mary and Joseph and their walk to Bethlehem and all the unknowns. What are some of the unknown Bethlehems that you face right now or in your future? And as you walk, turn these unknowns over to God, just like Mary and Joseph did. Boy, that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Because you know, I want to share something really personal, and then I'm going to get right back on because I don't want to jump off the off-ramp here too much. But I actually had a friend say something to me that I think every day since, and this was probably a week ago, that I've thought about and tried not to get upset and really just tried to digest. And my friend said this. They said, if you would have known, and they said, I don't even want to say this out loud, but you know, look at this situation. If you would have known that your daughter had special needs, and through the situation of thinking God is leading, God is guiding, and by the way, it wasn't thinking, I knew, my husband knew, our family knew, the community knew, those who were praying knew. But if you knew that you were going to get pregnant and have a healthy baby, would you have done it? And I just was really shocked, first of all, by that question, because I thought, how many years has that person been wondering that question and just now actually asked me? But I think you could say that for anything in life. If you would have known how this would have turned out, that it was more challenging than what you would have thought, or something sad may have happened, or a lifelong turn of events unfolded because of this, would you have done that? And as a Christian, I look to Mary, because in this particular circumstance, it wasn't because of a sin. It was because of a blessing and a situation that we felt and knew that the Holy Spirit was calling us to through adoption. And then later receiving the diagnosis that our child had special needs, Mary had this wonderful ecstasy of Gabriel and this joy of trust in doing the right thing and knowing that God was with her. But then when she was to have her baby, she's being sent on a path far different than what I imagined she suspected she would be. She had to give birth in a place that was by far not luxury. Her fiance almost left her because she had to explain this fantastical story to him that she's with child by this miraculous way with Gabriel and God and the Holy Spirit. I mean, how could you say that to Mary? If you would have known that your son was going to die, would you have done this? So I share that because it's a reflection that has actually helped me. My daughter's my daughter, and I don't look at her any differently as if she was born biologically or through another beautiful soul. She's my daughter. And so I think that I look to Mary, and I think Joseph would have said the same thing as well. So that is an opportunity to take that night walk and to think about the unknowns, whatever that might be, and to turn them over to God. Next, some resources for you. There's so much to do, and it's hard because I will never do it justice, but those are just some things to get you started. So four resources when it comes to that. Some recommendations are CatholicMom.com, also USCCB.com, two great resources that you can go to. There are so many awesome blogs out there too. I love mom blogs, Christian mom blogs, and the way the faith is lived out in the home. Those are just a few to get you started on this Advent episode that I can't believe is already here. 2015 wrapping up and coming to a close just blows my mind. When I was a teenager, I felt like 2015 was so far in the future, like flying cars and the Jetsons. And now we're almost to 2016 and 4 years away from the year 2020. So it's a reminder to just make the most of every day and that there is no other Advent 2015 that will ever come to be, that ever has or will be. So it's an unduplicated opportunity. And I thank you for joining and journeying with me through it. And as we wrap up the show, I want to kind of do a multitask prayer like we did in the beginning with the Advent wreath. And this is a blessing of the Christmas crib as we conclude the program today. Let us pray in silence for the coming of peace into the world and into our home. Lord, as we pray before this, our Christmas crib shrine, and await the feast of the birth of the Holy Child, call forth the dormant child from within each of us. Cause us to wonder and to rejoice again in this most ancient feast. As the Magi came bearing gifts, may we, this Christmas gift, be one another the gold of charity, the myrrh of kindness, and the incense of prayer. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you because by your holy birth, you give hope to all the world. Amen. And also we remember it's the year of mercy. So we show mercy to others as God has shown mercy to us. Thank you for being part of Good Things Radio. If you want Good Things Radio to continue, you like what you hear, please consider becoming a GTR good friend. And again, that's through the Podbean Patron Program. Just look for us on podbean.com, Good Things Radio. You can do that there. And also in the newsletter, we'll post a link. If you like what you hear on iTunes, we'd love for you to leave a positive review. That helps us out a lot. And give us a quick note if you would. And of course, feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out and share your input and thoughts about the show. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work. And Mark is a producer extraordinaire. So if you have any needs at all, you can reach him at cumminghomestudios.com when it comes to production and even transferring DVDs into CDs or anything like that. He does little stuff to big stuff to actually putting albums together as well. So thank you, cumminghomestudios.com. Have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving and beginning of your Advent season. God bless you. Thank you for listening to episode 32 of Good Things Radio, and may your Advent be holy and blessed. Until next time, friends, God bless you.
This episode of Good Things Radio was produced by Mark Cumming at Cumming Home Studio, your solution for all audio and video needs. www.cominghomestudio.com.